From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Chasing poachers around Matt Lachey, fending off gators during an Everglades rescue, and a daring aerial duel with sky poachers. Those are just some of the real adventures of Florida game wardens collected in a new book by author Bob Lee. Today, we'll talk to Lee about his decades as a game warden in our state and the stories from across Florida that he gathered for his new book, Bad Guys, Bullets, and Boat Chases, True Stories of Florida Game Wardens. Plus, making a full-length feature film with $2,000. In filmmaking, that's considered just under a micro-budget. We'll talk to the director and screenwriter who managed to do it with his film Moment of Truth, which was shot right here in Southwest Florida. It's showing this week as part of the Fort Myers Beach Film Festival, which kicks off tomorrow and runs through the weekend. We'll also talk to the organizer of that festival to hear about what else is being screened this week and what indie film buffs can look forward to if they go. But first, the news. Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. There aren't many who see a budget of $2,000 and think they can make a full-length movie, but Tim Ritter did. He shot the movie Moment of Truth right here in Southwest Florida, using local actors in almost every hour that he wasn't working full-time as a reporter. His film will be part of this week's Fort Myers Beach Film Festival. You can see it tomorrow night, along with a number of other independent films being screened through the weekend. Here to tell us more about the film festival is Carla Mandel. She's the festival chair. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. We're delighted to have the opportunity.
It's going to be a fun week for you guys. Also joining us by phone is filmmaker who created The Moment of Truth, Tim Ritter, who is driving down for the festival. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks. Glad to be a part of it.
And also here in the studio, we have the lead actor in that movie, the man who plays the troubled character Jess, Stuart Alexander. Thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what questions might you have about making movies? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Carla Mandel, how exciting is it to have a locally shot and produced full-length movie as part of the Fort Myers Beach Film Festival?
Oh, it's thrilling. It's what you want out of a local film festival is to be able to support people in your community who are actually creating. And for us, we provide the audience, they provide the talent, and our volunteers make it possible for us to produce a film festival.
And talent and a lot of hard work. Have you ever had local films in the festival before? It's been around for 11 years, right?
Yes, and we do. We have a local film or several local films every year. It's part of the tradition of the festival is to have local films.
Do you have any that are this long?
No.
I mean, this is a big undertaking.
Usually they're shorts and we package them together. This is quite the film.
Before we get into Moment of Truth, tell me a little bit about the film festival itself. What kind of films do you feature and what is the purpose of showcasing these independent films?
The purpose of showcasing independent films is just to simply provide a venue where people who are creating have a chance to interact with each other and with audiences. And I think that's the whole benefit of an independent film festival. It gives producers and directors from elsewhere an opportunity to come and see what local talent we have. But it also exposes local people to what might be in their neighborhood and to something other than going to the big box movies.
It's just kind of cool to know that something like that's being done right here.
Yes,
you know? It's
and not especially all in the beach.
Yeah, exactly. So let's take a listen to the trailer for the movie Moment of Truth.
It's supposed to be dead. It should be dead. This guy saved me. Save me. I gotta find out why.
It wasn't hard for one of my loyal bloodhounds to find you, Jess.
You're still trying to make it right.
Time's up, Jess.
We're all meant for better things. We all have the capacity to leave this world in better shape. That we inherited.
So that sounds pretty intense. Tim Ritter, after all the work that you've done on this film, what's it like to hear a trailer that's put together and edited like that?
It's always good. I've been living with it for so long, sometimes it's hard to keep perspective.
Well, is it strange to finally have the finished product?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's actually, we finished it last year as far as the post-production, and it's been kind of a wait, you know, as we get it out to festivals and get all the marketing materials together and things like that. But, yeah, when the post-production was pretty arduous. We learned a lot about file management doing this film. But it wasn't until I started getting the musical tracks and the sound design done that I really started to feel a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment of, oh, okay, yeah, this is a movie that we made.
It's like, wow, I did that. Would you look at that? Tell me about the project. What is the movie about? I mean, without obviously giving away all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a guy who's kind of a small-time hood. He's on the run. He's done some bad things with some bad people, and they're chasing him to his hometown. So he's basically having to rely on everyone in his hometown to kind of keep him alive and shelter him. And he's burned a lot of those bridges, so it's kind of throwing all these combustible elements together and watching what comes out of it. And if he can kind of not only stay alive, but kind of fix what some of these many mistakes that he's made.
Yeah. So you have the action and the shooting and the scary activity stuff. And then you also have the dramatic backbone of it.
Yeah, there's definitely a strong dramatic component. It's really when my composer finally got the whole thing, I had been sending him clips. He thought he had a sense of what it was, and then he watched it and was like, oh, so it's really just about these people. it's about characters and kind of the decisions we make and how they affect others and how we kind of all depend on each other in one form or other.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty interesting. And then what kind of a role did Southwest Florida play in the film as kind of a backdrop to this lead character's desperation?
Well, it was interesting because I had been making shorts in the area for a while with Stu and with some other a lot of the people that we made this film with. And I kept making the mistake with the short films of writing in some lush green field or something that I was not going to find in Fort Myers. So when I did Moment of Truth, I very much wanted it to be, you know, set in that world and fitting that world. So what I kind of went for with the visual aesthetic and with the locations was this kind of idea of a paradise lost, where you have beautiful palm trees and you get little, you know, scenes on rooftops where you can see the water. But then there's also a lot of decay where things have been let go a little bit, which reflects kind of the lost promise of this character and where he is versus where he could have been.
And going back to a hometown shortly after a housing boom makes it a little more desolate.
Yeah, and we shot it in 2011 and 12, and it was very much, I mean, I'm not in the area anymore, but I know at the time it was very much the story of the area. I moved to Fort Myers in 2007, early 2007, and then they kind of crashed within 3 or 4 months after I got there. So that was my experience of Fort Myers, was the real estate crash. And it's not really ever specifically referred to in the film, but it's very much a subtext running through as you kind of see them moving through these locations.
And so, Stuart Alexander, tell me a little bit about this character, Jess, that you play in the movie.
Well, Jess is a troubled young man. He owes a lot of people money. He's constantly on the run. It was arduous to play this character. He's just...
Did you like the character?
I didn't like him at all. I thought he was a little bit too soft. However, I think he displayed a little bit of what we all have in us a little bit. You know, we do what we need to do to survive. You know?
Yeah. And we all owe a lot of money somewhere, I'm sure.
We owe money.
It's just they don't have guns.
Yeah, we just don't own them. You know, owe it to, like, loan sharks and stuff. It was a long shoot. Jess was, kind of hard to gauge a little bit what he was thinking. A lot of it was physical, but we all know someone like Jess, a kind of squirmy, spineless person.
Yeah, and yeah. Playing somebody like that's got to be it's got to wear on you after a little while.
Oh well, yeah. One of the things that was really challenging about this and this film was that I was pretty much on every page of the script.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that when I was reading up about it. You're in every scene.
Yeah, I didn't get a break at all. I don't think I got a bathroom break. I mean, it was really.
That's why your eyes looked watery the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. It was every day, every time they had a shoot, I was in it, and it was very challenging, but very rewarding too to watch it, the final product.
Yeah, I want to watch it now. So we have a caller coming in from Paula from Fort Myers. She's calling in asking for advice. Paula, what would you like to ask?
My question is,
Paula, you're kind of cutting out. I really can't hear you. If you wouldn't mind, maybe giving us a call back in a different space. I couldn't hear that. So I'm going to go ahead and change it up. Now we have Kathy calling in from Fort Myers Beach. What question do you have, Kathy?
Hey, I was calling. Most film festivals do workshops, and I was wondering if the Fort Myers Beach Film Festival also does workshops.
Okay, great. That's a good question for Carla.
Yes, it does. In fact, it does two workshops. One workshop Friday, done by Red Flight Productions. Be at the Beach Theater Friday morning from... Just a minute. Let me make sure I give you the right information. From 11:30, and it's $30. It's called the Making of a Digital Filmmaking and Acting Workshop. And then on Saturday, Stanley Isaacs and Alan Darnay, who are both seasoned filmmakers, are doing a workshop called Conception to Completion, and that one is $40. And they're well worth attending. And the $30 and $40 respectively include lunch.
And if you want more information on either of those, if you didn't get a chance to scribble that down, if you're driving or something like that, check our website, wgcunews.org. We have links to the Fort Myers Beach Film Festival's website, which has all of that information for you. And I think we have Paula back online, too. Hopefully we have a better line. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I am. Is this better?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. My question was, how do you go about, what's the first step going about transferring a storyline into a screenplay?
Okay, that sounds like it might be a question for Tim. Tim, would you like to maybe kind of touch on that? When you have an idea in your head, how does it then become a screenplay? How do you do that?
Well, one of the first things you want to do, if you haven't looked at any screenplays, is to go and read some immediately and kind of start getting a feel for the formatting. That's kind of the first thing you have to get out of your way. There's a site called simplyscripts.com that has a bunch of screenplays that you can download from films that you've heard of. And so once you have that formatting, film is obviously a visual medium. It's not like writing a book. So you need to be thinking in visual terms of how am I going to show these things rather than, you know, a lot of beginning screenwriters put a lot of text and it's kind of converting what's in your head to something that you can show to people and see play out in front of people.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing.
Instead of writing out all the descriptors, you have to have it in your mind and then remind yourself, just write what you want it to look like instead of all of the more flowery expressions and linguistics.
Yeah, and it's a very concise form. You don't want to waste a lot of extra text with descriptions or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I came from journalism in my past, which is all about writing concise. So that was a pretty smooth transition for me.
Yeah, keep it edited down. Speaking of editing, though, how many days did you film and how many hours did it take for you to edit? Can you give me, like, a timeline?
Okay, so the shoot was 11 shoot days for an 83-minute runtime, which is really short. Now, that 11 shoot days was spread out over 13 months because scheduling was just kind of an ongoing nightmare. I was working full-time, and I would work nights and weekends. And our cast and crew had very variable schedules, so getting people together was always a challenge.
Yes, Stuart, are you a full-time actor?
No, I'm not.
So what do you do when you're not acting?
I'm in the security business. I work for a company here locally.
Doing security, but then in your spare time you would do the acting?
Yeah, my spare time. Well, I did a number of things. I mean, presently, right now, I'm a director at a company. You know.
Oh, okay.
But on my spare time, this was in the past, which I probably don't have that much spare time now. But back when I first got here in 2008, I had a lot of spare time, and so I did about 6 to 7 films.
Yeah.
Yeah, starting most of them.
So, Tim, you had a challenge in dealing with trying to get actors' schedules to work together. And then how did you find your actors?
Well, like I said, we have been working on short films. Like I said, I worked with Stu a few times before. And part of the build-up to the feature was the fact that, you know, through these series of short films, each one, we were kind of developing our crew and developing our cast and learning which actors and crew you could depend on and, you know, bring something good to the table. And then so by the time we had made, you know, been doing this for, I guess it would have been 3 years, maybe a little longer, we felt like we had the people in place. And we did casting for Moment of Truth, and I even cast all these people that I've been working with. You know, I had them go through auditions because I just want to see them in that character. And then we brought in a few new people that I hadn't worked with before. But it wasn't a big call because it was built toward what I knew I had. Everything was kind of centered around my resources that I was familiar with and knew that I could make work. So yeah. We didn't introduce that many new actors into the mix. There were just a few.
Yeah, the ones that you were familiar with. So you had 11 days of shooting over the course of 13 months.
Yeah, it was arduous. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we would go a few months between shoots, which is brutal on continuity.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of hard. Get back in character. It's been 3 months.
Yeah, Stu's hair probably changes a few times. A few other actors change a lot.
Just plan ahead so we can get that goatee grown back out. We have a question coming in from Tom in Cape Coral. Tom, what would you like to ask?
I'm just curious, how difficult was Fort Myers, or were they very accommodating in allowing you to film in locations if you were out on the street or whatever?
Fort Myers is actually really good to shoot in, especially compared to, you know, your L.A.'s or New York's or Orlando, which I shot my second feature in. Even Orlando had, it has 3 film school programs, so a lot of the locations are already burned out on films. It's not a novelty. It's not a fun new thing. Like, oh, great, another film. And with a lot of students making films, a lot of these places have had bad experiences and don't necessarily want to go through it again. With Fort Myers, everyone was very accommodating. We could get access to a lot of different places, and, you know, people tend to leave you alone. It's a fun thing, and the community is excited when they see something happening like that.
It's kind of nice it's kind of that kind of a smaller town, but big enough to look intriguing too on film. So that kind of helped out as well. We have another call from Dave in Inglewood. Dave, what would you like to say?
Hey guys. Hey Stu. Hey Tim.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Hey.
I think we know Dave. Just calling in to show your support.
Dave's a director for a internet series we're doing called Necessary Evil.
Oh, okay. So he's one of the crew.
Yes, he is.
He also appears in Moment of Truth.
All right, great. So I wanted to sort of start wrapping things up, and I wanted to ask Carla, this festival, you have the workshops that you were talking about, and you're mainly featuring indie films. But there's also a non-indie film that's going to be part of Family Film Night, and it's pretty much the opposite of indie because it's a Disney film. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, it's Friday night, and we're doing it. Mound House, which is a historic preservation on the beach, is sponsoring it. And instead of having our movie on the beach, which we have done for years, we are having movie on the bay. Mm-hmm. So at 7:30, bring your lawn chairs, your blankets, your towels, no coolers, please. And a Mound House will provide some refreshments. And we'll be showing the film Moana.
Moana.
And it is free, and it is Disney.
Disney.
Yes.
It's kind of the opposite of indie. Absolutely. For the people who are bringing their
Absolutely.
Kids.
Absolutely. The opposite, yes.
The kids are probably not going to be wanting to see, or they may want to, but they probably should not be seeing Moment of Truth. It looks like it's pretty intense. and it might fly over the kids' heads there. I wanted to ask Tim and Stuart just one last question. When you get to do things like this and you get to have this kind of interaction and you are watching the audience watch your film, do you sit there and watch the audience and see and look at them for reactions?
Well, oh, Stugo, I know he's Stu's got a good answer to this.
Stuart, what do you do?
Well, I usually walk out. I don't really like to watch myself on films. I'll walk in the film festival. I'll catch a few, you know, of scenes if I can. But I really don't like. If I wanted to continue acting, I don't watch myself.
Oh, really? So do you critically look at yourself and analyze?
I don't like the way I look or sound or, you know. But I'll leave that up to, you know, I'll leave that to, up to other people.
You trust other people to make sure.
Yeah,
you look good.
I mean, I'll promote it. I don't like looking at it.
Yeah.
I really don't. It's just, I look at it as a job. You know, you do your job and then.
And you're done and you go.
You're done. Next job.
You don't revel in staring at yourself on a big screen.
No, I don't actually. I don't like looking at it.
Tim, do you watch people for reactions in the audience when you go to these things?
It's pretty agonizing on my end too. I don't really enjoy watching my films in a crowded room either. I've talked to some other filmmakers I know who do comedies, and for them it's great because you get laughs and you know how people are absorbing your film. With more dramatic works, you're just kind of squirming and wondering, and especially, you know, I take chances in my films, do things differently sometimes, so it's really just kind of a big cloud hanging for an hour and a half trying to figure out how, do they like it, do they not, I don't know.
I know. And then they walk up to you after the film and get to talk with you.
Yep.
And say things. Nice.
I enjoy the after more than the during. Yeah. I enjoy watching it myself. But yeah, it's hard to watch it. And you see, you know, when you have your work blown up that big and booming around the speakers, you know, you always see and hear things that you wish were slightly different. So.
Yeah, hindsight's kind of tough. Stuart, you're going
to
say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's actually how you just you get to gauge how you're doing. If somebody comes up to you and they like a certain, you're like, you like that? You like that part? You know, it's funny how people will like something that you totally forgot about or you thought wasn't that great, and the things you thought were great, nobody may say anything.
Yeah, nobody
about
notices
it.
The nobody thing that you think is so amazing.
Yeah. So you know, I kind of that's how I watch the films through other people's eyes, and that's how I could, you know what I'm doing well and what I'm not doing well.
It's really hard to predict how an audience is going to react to things and what they're going to pick out and what they're going to love
exactly.
And what they're
the things
gonna
they
leave
pick
behind.
Out is just strange.
So this movie will be showing Wednesday, and that's going to be Wednesday evening. That's
Wednesday
tomorrow night.
Evening, yes, 6 o'clock.
So, Carla, if people are interested in attending the film festival, do they buy a ticket per screening, or do they can they buy a ticket to go to all of them?
You can do either. You can buy a ticket per screening, $7 a ticket. For $150, you can see every single movie, go to both workshops, get a T-shirt.
Ooh, a T-shirt.
Yes. I think there might be something more that I've forgotten. We do need to do a shout-out to WGCU's media and the fact that we're opening our film festival with Preserving Our Waters.
Yeah, that's also...
Yes.
So we're pretty excited about that, too.
That's a good one. That's a great place to leave it
Yes.
there. So we're going to wrap it up because we are now out of time, but we do have links to the Fort Myers Beach Film Festival on our website where people can learn more about what's showing and when at WGCUnews.org. Just click on the Gulf Coast Live tab. We also have links to that trailer that we played earlier in case people want to check that out, check out the visuals that go with that intense audio that we heard at the top of this half hour. But I want to thank our guests for coming on the show today, Carla Mandel, Festival Chair, Tim Ritter, filmmaker for Moment of Truth, and Stuart Alexander, the actor, lead actor in Moment of Truth. Thank you guys for all coming.
Hey, I'd like to give a shout out to my friends over at Alert Protective Services.
Okay. All the shout outs all around.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I just wanted to thank Carla and the team over there for including us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Our show today was produced and directed by Matthew Smith with help from Jessica Mazaras. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.